July 19th, 10 of the Bible. We continue on with, since it's fresh in our mind, these things that happened in Genesis, and make some observations there. Tonight, we'll look at some of the characters that we've already discussed as far as the timeline goes. Some of the, I won't say highlights, but really look at some things that we maybe never considered before. A few other verses that go along with the timeline. Again, this is a Bible study, so we're studying the Bible, obviously, and trying to put things together on how to make us better students. Catch things we never noticed before. Maybe a couple of these. Maybe you had, but we're going to look at those things tonight. I'm going to start just looking at, and I'm going to not go over all the characters that were on the timeline, but just looking at a couple brief things about Adam, starting off. Of course, we already know that he was the first man, first to be created in God's image. He was the only man to see what a perfect world looked like. Of course, Eve was there as well. But him and Eve were the only two to, with their eyes to see what Eden looked like, what this perfect world, no thorns, no pain, what it was meant to be in the beginning. Note that Adam was a vegetarian. Let's turn to chapter 1. Again, trying to note some things maybe we never noticed before. Again, chapter 1 and verse 29, beginning here. Again, Adam and Eve were vegetarians. And God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food, and to every beast of the earth, every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." It's not only them, but all the animals. They weren't meat eaters. They were only plants. Now let's contrast that with after the flood, chapter 9. Of course, Noah and his family had been on the ark for just over a year, as we had noted. And they come out, they see this rainbow, this new covenant, that God's not going to destroy the earth again with water. And we see in verse 1, "God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, 'Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. The fear of you,'" and this is something new after the flood, "'the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, and upon every bird of the heavens, upon everything that creeps on the ground, and all the fish of the sea. Into your hand they are delivered.'" Something new here, verse 3. "'Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. And as I gave you the green plants, I give you everything.'" With one rule here, "'but you shall not eat flesh with its life,'" that is its blood, so not eating of blood. So just as I gave you the plants, now I'm giving you in addition to animals. Okay, so after the flood, things changed. We had noted that Adam lived 930 years. According to our timeline, if the flood happened about 1656, he lived about 55% of that time. So the majority of that time, there was about 700 years after that, a little less than 700 years before the flood, that he didn't see things. Okay, as we noted last time, individual to Adam and Eve, everywhere they went, everybody they saw was their offspring. We see that also in Noah when he comes along. Of course, everything was reset. Cain, oldest son of Adam and Eve, chapter 4 and verse 1. We know that Adam and Eve had other sons, other daughters, other than Cain, Abel, and Seth, because we're told that. But how do we know that he was the oldest son? How do we know there wasn't another son before that that we just weren't told about? Well, chapter 4, verse 1. "Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, 'I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord.' So because she named him this, she had finally gotten a man of the Lord." And I'm not saying that she had a daughter before him. We don't know. But this was the first son that we can quote from Scripture. Cain was a farmer, a tiller of the ground. He was the first murderer. Note also that this first murder happened within the first 130 years of the earth. Now, how do we know that? We'll get to Seth in just a minute. But Seth hadn't been born yet, and we'll find out why. Seth was born when the earth was 130 years, because Adam was 130 years old when he had Seth. So this first murder, a very young earth, 130 years less, that he does this. Chapter 4 and verse 25. Here's how we know this. Here's how we know Seth hadn't been born yet. "Adam knew his wife again, and she bore her a son and called his name Seth. For she said, God has appointed for me another offspring instead of Abel, for Cain killed him." So Abel had to be dead already for her to name Seth for this reason. So that's how we know that. And by the timeline, we know this happened before the earth being 130 years. Chapter 4 and verse 17. Cain built the first recorded city called Enoch. That was after his first son. Verse 17. Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Enoch. When he built a city, he called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. So it's the first recorded city built by him. One of his grandsons, Lamech, verse 19, was the first recorded polygamist. He had more than one wife. Look at verse 19. And Lamech took two wives. The name of the one was Ada, and the name of the other, Zillah. Now Lamech's son, Jubal, if you read on down a little bit further there, we won't do it, was the first recorded musician. So you look very early in the earth, there was instruments of music very early in the earth. Lamech also, just like his ancestor Cain, also killed a man. Verse 23. Lamech said to his wives, remember he had those two wives, Ada and Zillah, "Hear my voice, you wives of Lamech. Listen to what I say. I have killed a man for wounding me, a young man for striking me. If Cain's revenge is sevenfold, then Lamech's is 77-fold. So again, we see here that one of his grandsons also killed someone. Here are different circumstances. He was struck first, okay, according to his account. Abel, son of Adam and Eve, and was the first prophet. Sometimes you'll get a trivia question. Who was the first prophet? Well, it was Abel. How do we know this? Turn to Luke chapter 11. We're told nowhere that I know of in Genesis that Abel was a prophet. But over in Luke, when it's talking about the prophets throughout time, he's listed here. Chapter 11 of Luke, begin at verse 49. This is Jesus speaking here. "Therefore also the wisdom of God said, I will send them prophets and apostles, some of whom they will kill and persecute. So the blood of all the prophets shed from the foundation of the world may be charged against this generation, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who perished between the altar and the sanctuary." So listing here, beginning with Abel and on to Zechariah, was the prophets. Enosh, this was the son of Seth, born when the earth was 235 years old. At that time, turn back to chapter 4 and verse 26. And I got this written down simply because of the time frame. We're told in verse 26, "To Seth also a son was born, and he called his name Enosh," or Enosh. "At that time, people began to call upon the name of the Lord." Now, we're not told a time frame here, but from our time when we did, this was about 235 years for men to begin to call upon the name of the Lord in this respect. Enoch, born when the earth was about 622 years old. He was the father of Methuselah. He's the longest recorded living person. So this is Methuselah's dad. As we talked about, he's one of two men to not see death. And he was 365 years old when he was taken, because he didn't pass. Noah, according to our timeline, he was born when the earth was 1,056 years old. He was 480 years old, according to our timeline, when God had decided to destroy the earth, that no longer would I be with men. But we also know that even though he's 480 years old, when God decided this, he didn't begin having children until he was 500 years old. Let's turn to chapter 5 and verse 32. Again, this is 20 years later after God had made this decree or decision. Chapter 5 and verse 32. "And Noah was 500 years old. Noah fathered Shem, Ham, and Japheth." Of course, we're not told here, as we're on the other accounts, he was 500 and he begat Shem. It was names all three sons there together. But he was 500 before he even began having children. Okay, he was 600 years old when the flood began. We know that from chapter 7 and verse 6. Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters came upon the earth. So some 120 years after God had decided this. He was the first family to eat meat. We already discussed that. They came out of the ark and said, just like you had the plants, now you got this meat. The fear of the animals will be in you. He lived 350 years after the flood, as we looked at in our timeline. This was 57 years or so after Abraham was born. So as we noted, we don't know if he knew Abraham, but we do know he was alive for 57 years or so after Abraham was born. They could have been living in different parts of the world, we don't know. But he was alive according to the time. Shem, this is Noah's son. This is the line through which Abraham and Jesus came through. Of course, he had the three sons, but it was Shem who Abraham and Jesus came through. Any questions or comments so far? As far as the people we're going to look at, I'm going to stop there on that. We're going to move on to something a little different here. Talk about seeing things that you don't normally see. Let's turn to chapter 17 of Genesis. This is for your own study. I simply do it here because it's within the time frame of the things we're talking about. Here we're going to see some men come to Abraham and talk to him. And it's relevant to later on our study as well. But we're going to see some men come to Abraham and talk to him about this promise he's going to make. Also, in this time frame, keep in mind, Sodom and Gomorrah has happened right at that same time, if you need a time frame. Okay? And we'll look at that in just a minute. But let's do this reading again, verse 17. And you're paying attention to the people who are talking to Abraham. You'll see it more so in the next chapter. But chapter 17, verse 1. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham, or Abram, and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between me and you, and I may multiply you greatly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, Behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but you shall be called Abraham. So he gets his new name here. For I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and kings shall come from you, and I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. And I will give to you and to your offspring after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. God said to Abraham, as far as you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your offspring after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and your offspring after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised. Every male throughout your generations, whether born in your house or bought with your money, from any foreigner who is not of your offspring, both he who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money shall surely be circumcised. So shall my covenant be in your flesh an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of the foreskin shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. So God's speaking to Abraham here. God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you should not call her name Sarai, but Sarah. So she gets her name changed here. Sarah should be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall become nations. Kings of people shall come from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said to himself, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Now keep in mind, he's 99 right now. He's talking about a year later. Shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, she's 89 right now, but she's going to be 90 when this happens, shall she bear a child? Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. And God said, no, that Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. So God declares this. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his offspring after him. As for Ishmael, I have heard you, and behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and multiply him greatly. He shall father 12 princes and will make him into a great nation. But I will establish my covenant with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this time next year. Verse 22. When he had finished talking with him, God went up from Abraham, so leaves. Then Abraham took Ishmael, his son, and all those born in his house, and bought with his money every male among the men of Abraham's house, and he circumcised the flesh of their foreskins that very day. as God had said to him. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. That very day, Abraham and his son Ishmael were circumcised. And all the men of his house, those born in the house, and those bought with money from a foreigner were circumcised with him. So here we're at this time frame. He's 99. She's 89. Isaac's not been born yet. He's going to be born the next year when he's 100. Okay? So in between them, that time, that year, what happens within that year? Pay attention to who's talking. Who's appearing before Abraham here. This is again for your further study. Chapter 18, verse 1. And the Lord appeared to him by the oaks of Mamre. Who appears to him? The Lord. Okay. As he sat at the door of his tent in the heat of the day, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing in front of him. Keep that in mind. So the Lord appeared to him, and these three men appeared to him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth and said, O Lord, because the Lord's appearing to him, right? If I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. So do we deduct from this that one of these men is the Lord? There's three of them, right? Let a little water be brought. Wash your feet. Rest yourselves under the tree. While I was bringing a morsel of bread, that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant. So they said, do as you have said. They said this. Abraham went quickly to the tent to Sarah, said to her, quick, three sheaves of fine flour, because there's three of them. Knead it, make cakes. Abraham ran to the herd, took a calf, tender and good, gave it to a young man who prepared it quickly. And then he took curds and milk and the calf that he prepared, and he set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. Again, while they ate, the three men. And they said to him, where is Sarah your wife? And he said, she is in the tent. And the Lord said, he's there with them, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah your wife shall have a son. So he's restating this promise. Sarah was listening at the tent door behind him. Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years. The way of women had ceased to be with Sarah. And so Sarah laughed to herself, saying, after I'm worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure? The Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. He said, no, you did laugh. Then the men, and me were there? Three. Set out from there, and they looked down toward Sodom. Same time frame. Abraham went with them, these three men, to set them on their way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? So ask the question. Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great nation, a mighty nation, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I've chosen him, that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord, by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has promised him. And then the Lord said, because the outcry, he's going to tell them what they're going to do while they're going towards Sodom. Because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great and their sin is very grave, I will go down to see whether what they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me. If not, I will know. Verse 22. So the men turned from there and went toward Sodom. They continued going toward Sodom. Those men, how many were there? Three. But Abraham still stood before the Lord. Then Abraham drew near and said, these men are leaving, but the Lord stays behind to talk to him. He says, verse 24, suppose there are 50 righteous within the city, will you then sweep away the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to put the righteous to death with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be that from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just? And the Lord said, if I find at Sodom 50 righteous in the city, I will spare the whole place for their sake. And this continues on, we won't read the whole verse, but 45 and 40 and so forth. Verse 33. Let's go to verse 32. Then he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak again but this once. Suppose 10 are found there, he answered. For the sake of 10, I will not destroy. And the Lord went his way. Y'all see that? When he had finished speaking to Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. So the Lord goes his way. There were three men there. They continued on to Sodom. The Lord stays behind, and they leave. The Lord goes his way, and he goes his way. Chapter 19. The two angels came to Sodom. So these two angels, and he calls them men later on, were one of these three who were talking to Abraham during this promise. And as they leave, we're going to go towards Sodom. Why are you going to Sodom? Well, I should tell him because these are promises. The Lord stays behind. But the other two men continued on to Sodom. If you read through the entire account there, verse 12, then the men said to Lot, have you anyone else here and so forth? It was these two angels who was originally with them during this time who destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. That's for your own study on that. Any questions about that? Another, this is a little Bible lesson for your comments on this. Chapter 19 and verse 37. A lot of times when you're studying the Bible and you read something, and it talks about certain people or places, and you'll see a statement, which when I was younger kind of confused me. Chapter 19 and verse 37, 38. Talks about these places. The firstborn, this is, by the way, this is after Lot has escaped Sodom and Gomorrah, and his daughters have been with him. Okay. He talks about his children here. Thus the daughters of Lot became pregnant by their father, verse 36. And the firstborn bore a son and called his name Moab. He is the father of the Moabites to this day. And that's that term I want you to look at, to this day. The younger also bore a son, called his name Benammi. He is the father of Ammonites to this day. Does this to this day mean 2017 to this day? What's it mean? At that time. They used to confuse me. I'm thinking, well, there's no Moab nowadays. Well, to this day, when this was written to the people it was written to during that time frame. Does that sound correct, everyone? So that could kind of help with your studies on that. With that, we'll move on to our last part of our lesson. Any comments or questions so far? We're going to reestablish our timeline if we have time to go through this.
We're going to do a little extra study on the life of Abraham. Now we know from our timeline, we'll go over how we got to Abraham, we've already done that. But when Abraham was born, the earth was about 1949 years old. Y'all remember that? Sarah was how much younger than him?
10 years.
Okay. So Sarah, when she was born about 19, when the earth was about 1959. Make sense? How old was Abraham when Isaac was born? He was 100. So, here plus 100 gets us to the earth being 2049 when Isaac is born. Is that correct? Now, we know that the year before that is when God came at his promise. Y'all agree with that? That would be 2048?
Yes.
Makes sense. At that time is also when circumcision was first started, in between this time period right here. And also this is when Sodom and Gomorrah happened. Now, the earth was this many years old when Sodom and Gomorrah happened. But it was only a little less than 400 years old after the flood. So it took man 400 years to get so bad that we had Sodom and Gomorrah after the reset of the flood. So I'm going to turn to chapter 23 and verse 1 of Genesis. Can you read that for us?
Sarah lived 127 years. These were the years of the life of Sarah.
Okay. So if you do the math here, there's Sarah. I'll do the math there. The earth was about that many years old. Okay. At this time, if you do the math here, Isaac is 37 years old. Okay. That makes sense? Someone turn to chapter 25 and verse 20.
Isaac was 4 years old when he took Rebekah as wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padan Aram, the sister of Laban, the Syrian.
Okay. Isaac's 40. He's 37 when his mom dies. 3 years later, he marries. This is here. The earth is that many years old. Isaac is how old? He's 40. And he marries. Someone turn to chapter 25, verse 26. Read that.
Therefore, his brother came out in his hand to call Esau's heel, so his name was called Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore him.
Okay. So he's 40 here, he's 60 here. So do the math there. And that's how old the earth is when Jacob and Esau are born. Correct. Someone turn to chapter 25, verse 7.
These are the days of the years of Abraham's life, 175 years.
This, plus 175, gets you 2,124. And this is the death of Abraham. Would you all agree with that?
Yes.
Any mistakes?
If you do the math here,
when Abraham dies, his grandsons are 15 years old. This is 15 years later.
Now, we're going to talk about Sarah's death here a little bit and put some stuff into context. We know that she was 127 years old when she dies. We know that she was 90 when she had Isaac. We talked about that. That makes, as we talked about, Isaac 37 years old. You all see that. We know Abraham lived, do the math, another 38 years after she dies.
Okay, you do the math there. Time she dies to here.
Another 38 years. How do we know that Abraham, aside from the timeline, which we had to do on our own, we had to dig for it, right? We had to go back here. How do you know that Abraham knew his grandkids? Do we know whether Abraham knew his grandkids? We know he knew Isaac. But how do we know he actually personally knew this?
Because the text can be confusing if you read it straight through the order.
Let's look at that. According to the order, if you read Genesis the way it's written, we see that, turn to chapter 24. Again, the purpose is just digging deeper in the Bible and learning how to put things together, okay? We see at the end of chapter 24, again, if you're reading Genesis in order, that Isaac, as we've read in verse 67, 24 and verse 67, that Isaac marries Rebekah. Y'all see that, 24 and verse 67? Now, beginning of chapter 25, what's the first thing it starts talking about?
Abraham again took a wife.
Okay, go down to verse 7.
This is the sum of years of Abraham's life, which he lived 175
okay.
years.
Okay, the next portion, Abraham's dead. Have we heard about Jacob and Esau yet? In this order? We've not. Okay. Matter of fact, you'll never see, in the Old Testament anyway, a mention of Abraham with his grandkids unless I've missed it somewhere. According to the text here, Isaac takes a wife. We know from our timeline that he was 40 when that happened. His mom had been dead for 3 years. And he takes a wife. And the next text we read is that Abraham is dead. Let's go to keep on reading there. Verse 8. 25 verse 8. Abraham breathed his last, died in a good old age, an old man, full of years, and was gathered to his people, and who buried him?
Isaac
and Ishmael, his sons. What's the point of this? We know that Isaac had contact with his father's dead body. Correct? But no mention of Jacob and Esau. Verse 19, beginning this same chapter. This is where it starts telling about the birth of his grandsons, Jacob and Esau. But he's already dead, right? There's no mention together. So being in verse 19 there, chapter 25, we already noted that he had been married for 20 years because he was married at 40. He was 60 when he had Jacob and Esau. Let's begin at verse 19. Well, that's verse 24. When her days of birth were completed, behold, there were twins in her womb. The first came out all red, the body like his hairy cloak, so he called his name Esau. Afterward, his brother came out with his hand holding his heel, so his name was called Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them. Any mention of Abraham being near them? The next verse, when the boys grew up, Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, while Jacob was a quiet man dwelling in tents. Any mention of Abraham? But I want you to remember dwelling in tents. What was Jacob doing? Dwelling in tents. What was his brother? A hunter. What was Jacob? Dwelling in tents. Remember that. Again, they're grown. No mention of Abraham. He must be dead, according to the text. However, we know from our timeline that he was not dead. He lives another 15 years after they're born. Correct? We did this together, right? No doubt that he lived another 15 years. But there's no mention. We talked about it just because the Bible doesn't mention someone like Adam who lived another till 930. They're still doing things. They're still alive. They're still around doing things. But there's no mention here. Why? Because Abraham's part of the story is not pertinent no more. It goes on to Isaac. And God's going to carry on that story, the Genesis, about him. That's all that matters now. Abraham did his job. And now it's Isaac's story. And then it will be Jacob's and so forth. We know that Isaac buried his father, right? We read that. So we know that at some point Isaac had contact with his dead father's body and buried him in Ishmael. Does anybody know another verse in the Bible that accounts for these 15 years that can give us proof that Abraham knew his grandsons? Other than the timeline, that doesn't have to dig it out. What was Esau?
Hunter.
What was Jacob? Well, turn to Hebrews chapter 11. We'll begin at verse 8. This is a chapter of faith, right? By faith, which everybody gets there. Chapter 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. Verse 9. By faith, he went to live in a land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents. Who else lived in tents? And who did he live with? Isaac and Jacob. As in a foreign land. Heirs with him of the same promise. So, from the New Testament here, we know that he was living in tents with Isaac and Jacob. We're not given a time frame, but he was living with them. So, from the New Testament, we can see that Abraham actually knew his grandson. Questions? That's all for now.